Most of us never learned how to train our brains, which is why most of us needlessly settle, struggle, and worse, suffer. My name is Chris Doris, and I want to make brain training mainstream. This is my series, Tough Talks, Conversations on Mental Toughness. I'm interviewing badasses from all walks of life on what mental toughness means to them and their unique approaches to strengthening their minds. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tough Talks, Conversations on Mental Toughness. And today, our guest is John Toomey. I've known John for several years now. John is Senior Vice President for North America for a company called NICE, which is an acronym. I don't know if it still is. It was. When the company was started in 1986, founded in Israel, yeah?
Yeah, correct.
NICE, N-I-C-E, stood for Neptune Intelligence Computer Engineering. And this is kind of cool. They sought initially to commercialize telephone voice recording hardware that its founders had developed for the Israeli Defense Forces, which is pretty neat. Like, that's how it started and has since evolved, right, into enterprise software. And that you guys went public 10 years later in 86 on NASDAQ. And you're all over the world. And you're responsible for a team of regional VPs, sales folks that cover accounts across the U.S. and in Canada. You are a 24-year IT industry vet, business leader on the East Coast, top business leader, a success with tremendous success all across North America in sales and business development. I met you when you were working with CAE Technologies. We've interviewed here on Tough Talks two other folks, John Hunter and David Earhart, who are good friends of yours.
Yeah, good guys.
And we all met at CA and in Chicago and for that wonderful event. And you are a graduate of Providence College with a Bachelor of Science in Marketing. And you completed your first Ironman triathlon in August of 2013 in Quebec. And you live in New Hampshire with your wife of 20 years, over 20 years, Teresa, and you have four children. So I was thinking, John, first of all, thanks so much. We've been talking about getting together for a while. I know you're busy as hell, and I seriously appreciate you making time for this. So thank you.
Happy to do it, Chris. Yeah, happy to do it.
So, you know, my thoughts were that, again, the whole intention, okay, of me doing these Tough Talks conversations and interviews is because my intent, and this is really important to me, is to expose my audience to a diverse group of individuals who get what mental toughness means. Not what it means to me, just what it means, right? My audience is always reading my, like, hear my stuff, like, mental, they got enough Chris Doris mental toughness interpretations. Well, by virtue of the fact that this stuff wasn't taught to us in grade school or high school or anywhere, really, from the vast majority of humans, meaning this stuff, meaning how to strengthen the way we use our minds to have our lives be amazing. Right? Most people haven't had exposure to that. So that's what this point is. This is my mission, is to spread that in so many different ways. This is a medium, right? And I love that you're available for this because you can bring insights from the three that we're talking about sharing or discussing today. Three different disciplines in life are sales and sales leadership, which you're truly an expert at. Sports, you're a freaking Ironman. Okay, so you're an expert. I mean, how many people, what percentage of humans ever do that? And most importantly, fatherhood and parenting, which I think is and you've got some really cool insights on that, some specifics, which I love. And that's what my true mission here is, that somebody will listen to this, right? And they're going to take something, just maybe one thing, right? Like just a thing, one nugget away that'll resonate with them, that I could have never articulated or shared with them. And they'll integrate that in their lives, and their lives will elevate. And that's the point. So thanks, bro. I really, again, appreciate you making time.
Yeah, no, happy to do it, Chris. Anything I can do to help.
Thank you, man. So let's talk about, what does mental toughness even mean to you?
You know, it's funny. Mental toughness for me is focusing yourself on the why, right? So we all do a lot of different things during the day. And I think if you focus yourself on why you're doing something, the why behind why you're doing something, you end up focusing on not kind of what might happen, but what's possible, right? So mental toughness to me is taking the situation and creating your own reality. And what that gets us is, you know, every day we're exposed to good things and bad things that just happen. But our ability to be able to take that experience, good or bad, and make it into our own reality and not be kind of a victim to it is our way of looking at life and being mentally tough. Mental toughness for us, for me, and I've talked to a lot of my teams about it, my family about it, is, you know, we make a decision as soon as we get out of bed in the morning what kind of day we're going to have. The stuff that happens to us is just stuff that happens to us. But as soon as we get out of bed, if we decide we're going to have a good day, everything that happens during the day is a self-fulfilling prophecy of the good day we're going to have. And the bad things just happen. If we decide, you know what, it's going to be a rotten day, then guess what? We stub our toe, we can't find the keys to our car, we're late for class, we're late for a meeting, and you know what? It's a horrible day. So by waking up every morning and thinking and determining your outcome, you've already decided. The stuff that's going to happen is just going to happen. You know what your outcome is going to be because you've determined it as soon as you woke up.
That's what I love about you. Mental toughness. Hey, preach, brother. Yeah, baby. Holy. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Wow. All righty, then. If that's how this conversation is going to go, we are in for a real treat. That's man, you just said a million things that that I could respond to. You reminded me, I recently wrote an article or a blog on, and it might have been a video blog, I don't remember, but it was entitled, like, The Wrong Side of the Bed. It's one of the most interesting phrases, right, that I've ever heard. It's one of the weakest, most victim-y sentences I think anybody could say, right, which is, oh, I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Like, what does that even mean?
Right, right. Yeah. It's just for me, you know, I have a kind of a crude expression. I said, there's no points for being a victim, yeah, right? No one cares.
Dude, you think that's crude? You guys are so, yeah, you New Englanders are so pleasant. Come hang out in Philly for a minute. That ain't crude, baby. Yeah. That's just sweet.
Exactly.
I get that, though. That's beautiful. Yeah, you get no points for being a victim. So what's the opposite of being a victim?
The opposite of being a victim is, you know, again, we're going to be faced with a lot of challenges. We're faced with challenges in our lives. We're faced with challenges in our business. We're faced with challenges in our family. And, you know, and I actually learned this from you. I'm not going to plug you all this time. But, you know, being able to understand the reaction you're feeling and owning that reaction, saying, listen, I'm feeling this way. And why am I feeling this way? And then changing that reality, right? So your whatever reaction you make, worst case, is neutral. It's what we call above the line. And best case, you actually change your outcome. And I think that when having the opposite, it means that we're constantly changing direction, right? We're constantly reacting to the things that happen to us. And our mental state and our mental outcome and our positivity is affected by things external input. Mm. It's not being faced internal. So what I mean by that is, you know, again, we talked about you lost your keys, you're late, or you didn't get something done. That's reactive, right? That's not positive. And so when something does, some external input happens to us, and we don't change that, then we become a victim to it, and that creates our own reality. So when I talk to my teams about this, or I talk to my family about it, I said, you know, we need to focus on what's possible, not what might happen, right? In life, we're always thinking about, well, if I don't do this, this might happen. If we don't do this, this might happen. If I don't get this deal, I won't get the promotion. If I don't get this job, I won't get this. Rather than focusing on, hey, what if I did do that? What if that did happen? So if I focus on the possible, not what might happen, that allows me to kind of untether myself from all the kind of silliness that goes on.
So when you say what might happen, you actually mean what could go wrong, so to speak?
Exactly.
Is that what you mean, right?
When I say what might happen, it's the negative side of what's possible.
Okay, I thought so. Yes. Yeah. So, okay. Okay, that's great. So let's stay there. Let's stay right there. Let's stay in the world. So we were talking about three different disciplines of life or aspects of life: sales and sales leadership. You're a sales leader. You have been for a long time. And then in the area of sport, and then we'll finish up with fatherhood and parenting. So let's stay with this in the sales world right now. So okay. What are okay? So what? This may be obvious. It might sound like an obvious question, but to a lot of people, it's not. So anybody that's in the sales or connected to the sales world that's listening to this, we're speaking to them right now. Why is mental toughness important in that industry?
Mental toughness is important because if you don't have a plan for success, right, and your plan is always going to be interrupted. It's going to be interrupted by 1,000 things, right? The deal didn't go through. I couldn't get the contract in time. You know, if you focus on everything that's, if you stop focusing on what your plan is and understanding the why behind the plan, because again, whether it's personal or business, you got to have a why. What's the reason you get up every day? What's the reason that you're pushing towards a certain plan? And if you have a mental outcome of what that looks like from a positive standpoint, you know, I make my number, I've done my quota. What's that get me? It gives me the ability to fund my kids' education or get that new boat I was looking for or fund the house. You have that mental picture in your head and say, that's what my goal is. That's my why. Then every day, the no you get doesn't become a no. It just becomes a lack of information. And what I mean by that is people say to us no all the time.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. No to me is not no. No to me is just lack of information.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. That is okay. I can't wait to hear the explanation. I love that.
So let's break it down very simply. When you were in high school and you're asking your first girl out to a date, and they said, "Hey, listen, I'd like to go to the movies tonight." No, you know, I don't really feel like going to the movies tonight. Well, you know, there's this romantic comedy I really love to take you to see. No, you know, I haven't done my hair. That's right, we're going to a drive-in, so you don't have to worry about your hair. Well, you know, I don't have any money. That's fine, well, I'll pay for it. Well, you know, I don't know, it's kind of late. Yeah, well, I talked to your friends, and they're going to be there too. And my favorite sales book is Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss.
This is so great.
Why? So if you think about you know, that very simple thing, Green Eggs and Ham, it was about getting somebody to try something they had never tried before, and it was all different ways of looking at that situation. And then at the end, guess what? He loved Green Eggs and Ham. It was the best thing he'd ever tasted. But at that time, it was lack of information. He'd never tried it before. Wow. It was weird looking. It didn't taste the way he wanted it to. Going back to the girlfriend strategy.
Yeah.
They said no the whole time, but then they said yes because you created a different reality for them. You gave them information they didn't have, and ultimately they decide, yes, I do want to go out with this person.
Okay, can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
So it sounds like, if I'm getting that like in the example of the boy asking the girl out to the movies, right?
Yes.
That he's operating from the assumption that, of course, it would be better for her to go. Like, why would she? The only reason she would say no is because she lacks information. Because it's this guy.
Exactly.
It could never be because she actually doesn't prefer it. Like, she's not attracted to me. That would never be the reason. She just needs more info.
Right. That's called,
okay,
you know.
Good. That is correct. Know, okay. Perfect.
So
but there's a thing of arrogance about that.
Of course there is, but that's part of being mentally tough.
Okay, let's stay on that. Okay, let's go. Because a lot of people think, John, a lot of people hear arrogance as I don't want to be. Arrogance is a bad quality. Right? I need to be. I was taught, you know, as a Catholic, raised in the Catholic Church, that I need to be humble. Arrogance is almost like sinning.
See, I think arrogance in a positive light is confidence.
Okay.
Right? Arrogance in a negative light says that, you know, I'm going to force my opinions or force my presence on somebody else. If you're confident, then you're just providing them information. Ultimately, they may decide not to do it. And that's fine. That's their choice. But you're providing them different options that give them more information to give them a better picture. So one of my favorite teams, the All Blacks.
Right on.
You know, and when they were asked one time, you know, you lost that match. What happened? They said, we didn't lose a match. We just ran out of time.
Oh, wow.
In their mind, they never lose a match. So you've run out of time. Because they're working a specific plan, they're going to win. That's just a foregone conclusion. It's just how much time they had to play the game.
So great.
I love that attitude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, I love that.
You know, you don't win or lose, you just lose out. You run out of time or you run out of a certain situation. But in your mind, you always win.
It's not arrogance. It's not arrogance. You're helping me.
No, it's confidence.
That is. And you know what else it is? It's commitment. It's commitment to excellence, okay? It's just saying, hey, look, I want to create excellence for my life, period. Like, if you want to take offense to that, that's your gig, babe. Okay, but I love what you're saying because it's reminding me of like the all-in state, like the absolute, like the knowing versus hoping distinction, right? That we know we're going to win. Well, but you lost that game. Well, they closed the game down too soon. We were going to win. You know, and having that be your reality, as you keep saying, like creating your reality. And you know, to the untrained mind, John, I think that could sound, in addition to arrogant, borderline delusional to people that don't get it.
Right.
And the it that I don't think they get is that you get to create, you get to choose how you think, man. You just get, it doesn't have to conform to linear thinking, logical thinking, historically accurate thinking, or anything else I've been taught. We have total freedom in our minds. Dude, I love what we're talking about. Let's shift into sports. Okay, since you brought up the All Blacks, I got a great buddy, Andy Anderson, who's a huge, I think he even has a tattoo of the All Blacks.
I haven't gone that far yet, but I get it.
you get it. So you tell me about the sports that you've played.
You know, I played typical high school sports. I played soccer. I played hockey. You know, I've done a lot of running in my life. You know, it's funny. I love to do things people tell me that I can't do.
I can tell.
You know, in high school, they said you'll never be fast enough to run, you know, the mile in a certain time they wanted. I did that. I remember in high school that I'd always run, you know, like 5 mile races, but somebody said, you know what, you're not built to be a marathoner. You'll never be a marathoner. So my last year in college, I started training to run a marathon. I'd never done it, bought myself a new pair of shoes, and that was the way I was going to run a marathon. But I started training for it. And I remember being, running, on an 18 mile run. 9 miles into it, I stopped. Mm. And I'm like, what am I doing this for? And I walked back. In that 9 miles, I made a decision. What was my why? Why was I doing this? What was I doing? It had to be something just other than myself. So I picked a cause. At that time, it was a very personal thing going on in my family's life. I picked a cause of something going on with my father. And that's the reason I ran. So every mile I ran, I thought about why I was running. And it wasn't because I was running to make myself do a marathon. It was running because I was doing something for my father instead of me.
That is so – man, you're amazing. So everything you say reminds me of some really powerful stuff. Like, for example, I did an interview very recently with Adam Archuleta. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a former NFL superstar, and he played here at Arizona State University. And he said how his whole life he used – the naysayers as fuel. He chose, right? He chose to have his reality be that's when someone says, like a friend of his said, dude, why do you work out so much? It's not like you're going to go pro. and he used that, right? And it's basically like, oh, thank you for saying that because you just maximized the likelihood because I'm using that as fuel, dude. And he ultimately became, at the time, the highest paid safety in the history of the league. And then also recently I interviewed a guy, a superstar physical trainer, and that title falls way short of who he is in the world. His name is David Jack. And I just talked about him yesterday. I gave a talk up in Scottsdale, and I told a story about him. But I interviewed him, and my intro to him is the story that you just reminded me of, which is you're talking about dedication. David Jack is a big – he's the physical trainer on the Katie Couric show, and he's also a big-time Men's Health magazine trainer. He's big-time, right? But beyond that, he's a big-time human. His heart is the size of his body. You know, and he always talks about, he wears a bracelet and every day he writes something else on it. Can erase it, what he's dedicating to. And that's what you're saying. You dedicated to your father. And I just told that story yesterday, right, to a group of business leaders about how much more powerful we are when we use that tool. So that's a takeaway for listeners, right? There's so many takeaways, but let's just isolate that. is that when I dedicate what I'm doing to someone else, I tap into a reservoir of strength that I didn't know I had. It's like an extra fuel tank. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, and since then, every race I've run, and I've run a number of them, I've always taken the race and dedicated it to somebody. Because when you're in the deepest bowels of training, and you're running a hill, or you're swimming, or you're doing whatever you're doing, there's a moment there you're saying, this is silly. Why am I doing this? This doesn't make any sense. I'm never gonna be able to do this. Yeah. You know, I'm not that good. I'm not that guy. I'm never going to be able to do that. But you tap into the fact that you untether yourself from what might happen, and you think about what's possible, which is, hey, wouldn't it be great if I ran this race and I could go back to my father and say, I ran this race for you. And wouldn't it be great seeing yourself cross the finish line, and what's that mental picture look like? And then taking a snapshot of that and put it into your life every day. So that's what your focus is, not the hardship of training or the hardship of whatever you're going through at the time.
So to clarify, you just offered two very specific tools for the moments in life when we start to doubt ourselves. And one is shift your internal focus away from what sucks now or what could go wrong in the future to what's possible. And then I'll add to that, like, what actually am I grateful for now? And then in the future, what's possible? And that'll drive me. And you can pile on with, and let's go outside me.
Right.
Let's go into someone else's world, right? Let's commit and dedicate this to someone or something else outside of me. You know, and let's have this be for them. Those two things alone are huge, huge mental toughness tools. Way to go. Thank you so much for bringing that stuff up. That's beautiful. Let's go into the third category. So we've covered sales and sales leadership. We've covered some sports. Now let's go into family life. Let's talk about, and this is unique. I can't wait to hear. I'm not a dad, so I can't speak to this, okay? So I can't wait to hear you talk about mental toughness, specifically in relationship to fatherhood or parenting in general.
You know, there's an old saying that there's no playbook for being a father. You know, there's a lot of advice, there's a lot of books you can read out there, but until you hold your own child in your hand and look at it and say, okay, I'm responsible for this person for the rest of their lives. It's not a sometime thing, it's an always time thing. And I'm fortunate enough to have my parents still living. They're 84 years old, and they still parent me. And I'm less than that, but I'm more than 20. So they're still parenting me, and I think that's the responsibility. You know, if you let the responsibility of that weigh on you every day, that can be a really difficult thing because you're just all about responsibility. But if you think about, you know, what if I do a good job and my life is good and I have faith in God and I do the right thing by this person, what could this person be, and what would that look like? And you start imagining in your mind the possibilities that they have. And so you stop thinking about all the stuff that you're doing wrong, because you're doing something wrong every day when you're parenting. No question about it. And you start focusing on the things I'm doing right. And if I do these things right, what's that going to get me in the outcome? And more importantly, what's that going to give them the possibilities to do? Then the things that you do wrong, you do better at the next time. Because you've got to focus on not the daily activity, but you got to focus on what the outcome is going to be, which is them growing up as a happy, healthy, moral child. And that's huge.
I'm detecting a common thread here, which has to do with, okay, the common thread through all of this conversation. So it doesn't really matter. We could start talking about woodworking and you're going to say the same stuff. And like mental toughness with relationship to building cabinets. And you're going to say, think about your why and think about your possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, listening to you, it is abundantly clear that this is a way of life for you, brother.
Yeah, it's...
This is all, like, automatic for you. That's obvious to me because you keep... We didn't plan this, okay? This is spontaneous. This is completely unpremeditated. We didn't have any warm-ups, right? This is a totally organic conversation. And you keep repeating certain words, like the why and possibilities. This is obvious to me that you practice this constantly. You have made this your way of practicing experiencing reality.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I do work at it every day. I think that life's all about balance. I mean, to me, life's a three-legged stool.
Okay.
It's mind, body, and spirit.
Okay.
Right? You seek balance in mind, body, and spirit, whether, you know, you feed your mind, you keep your body in shape the best of your ability, and you focus on your faith, whatever that faith may be. As long as you keep all those three legs strong, you can do anything. As soon as one of those legs, you know, it starts to falter, you start to see it right away. You don't seek balance, and that balance gets disrupted. Guess what? Your life starts falling in a different direction. And then you realize one of those legs is not as strong as it should be, and you focus on that leg to achieve balance again. But balance, to me, is the underlying theme that allows us to do all this.
You know, when we were at the beginning of the right before we started recording, I was just testing out the audio and stuff, and I asked you to just start talking. And you started to say something, and I don't remember what it was because I wanted you to stop. I didn't want to hear it. I wanted us to talk about it, like, unpracticed, right, unrehearsed.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember what it was, but it was something when we were talking about, and I said, I hope if you're cool with it, we can talk about mental toughness with respect to parenting. And you said three things. Did it start with the letter H? I don't remember what it was.
Faith, family,
okay,
and fundamentals.
Okay, that's it, right. I don't have any idea, so talk to me about that. Faith, family, and fundamentals.
So it goes back to, you know, faith, family, and fundamentals is mind, body, and spirit, right?
Oh.
So that's just a different way of saying it, but faith is, what's your faith, right? You know, for me, I believe in God. I'm a Roman Catholic. I practice my faith. I rely on my faith every day to help guide me in the direction I want to go. Family is my why, right? That's why I do everything. That's the underlying theme for everything I do. And fundamentals goes back to seeking balance every day. So if I do the fundamentals every day, if I'm feeding my mind, body, and spirit, and I've got the why behind what I'm doing, those are the fundamentals. And I can do anything I want and put it in that context.
Let's spend a second or two before we wrap up talking about how, like, some practical offerings, some more practical offerings on how you feed your mind. How do you, John Toomey, feed your mind?
I feed my mind by doing things like this, right? I feed my mind by positively reaching out to people. I read a lot of biographies. I like learning from the past. I like learning what Andrew Jackson did. I like, you know, there's a great series by Bill O'Reilly called The Killing Series, Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy. And it's all about the background, the why behind these guys, why the guys did what they did. Phenomenal series of books. I just read Killing Lincoln, which was the why behind why we won the war for independence in the U.S., and what's interesting to me is not so much the dates and times. That to me bored me when I was in school. But what motivated these people?
Wow.
You know, what motivated these people to do what they could do? I mean, in today's reality, we're actually kind of weak compared to the revolutionaries. I mean, these guys would hike 10 miles, and then they go to war. And they'd have shoes and clothes. But they had a significant reason. They had a significant why, which was, if they didn't do that, then their families would be tossed off their farms and they'd be out in the street. They had a real why. And I think if you look at every biography or every publication around somebody's, you know, success in life, they always had a significant reason why they were doing something. And to me, that I feed into that.
I couldn't love that more. I hated history class in high school because I was so, because you're right, and I never thought about why. You just answered it. That's amazing. I've never thought that through. Like, I hate it because, you know, trying to memorize dates, who gives a shit? But when you get into the psychology behind why what was going on was going on and why what was driving them, that's amazingly interesting. Look at that. Wow. This has been incredibly enlightening, brother. And this is one hell of a reminder for everybody that gets the opportunity, that has the privilege of hearing you speak today, is let's make damn sure we're clear on our why. Let's really make damn sure we're clear on our why. If nothing else, let's re-clarify on a daily basis. And if you feel like you don't have an answer to your why, get one.
Yeah, take a walk. Figure it out. Mm. Because if you haven't figured it out, you're going to be struggling with everything you do.
You are the man, brother. I so appreciate this. This has been a really great and fun conversation with you. And again, thank you so much for making the time to share your insights and your wisdom.
I appreciate all that you've done for me, Chris, so happy to do it.
Well, thanks, John.